Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
As we started with the beginning of July and ending in the month of June, we talked about halftime, that 6 months of the year has literally been gone. And we said, now what? We said the strategy for the next half should be to seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, because we know that if we do this, all the things we need will be given or added to us as well. Last week, we said that the key to that is prayer. The first way that we seek God is to pray to Him. And today, I want to talk to you about the second part of seeking Him, which is meditating on the Word of God, which comes hand in hand with prayer. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God, or seek the Lord your God with all your heart. And that's what prayer does, and with all your soul, with all your emotions. But it also says, love Him with all your mind. That word mind is the word genoia in the Greek, which refers to the idea of knowledge. When you know something, you will understand something. When you don't know something, you will not understand it. And when you know and understand something, you will be capable of imagining things about that thing. And more importantly, your memory will be filled with that. This is meditating on the Word of God. The more you meditate on the Word of God, the more you're going to know God. The more you're going to understand His ways, His thoughts, His plans, the more you're able to imagine. You've heard the song, I Can Only Imagine. We imagine things about God because we know, we understand, we imagine, and as such, we remember God. These things, meditating on the Word of God, cause us to pray even more effectively. Now, the idea of knowledge and understanding and imagination and even our memory comprise what we all know to be intelligence. In August 1996, the history of intelligence will be altered forever. Back in the day, two young students from Stanford University invented an algorithm known as BackRub. BackRub would be the benchmark for artificial intelligence. And no more than 2 years later, in September 1998, the name Google, which was BackRub, became a household name. The mother of intelligence, artificial intelligence, that is. After Google came Siri and Alexa and Hey Google and dozens of other apps known as artificial intelligence. All of these are designed to do four things: to know you, to understand you, to be able to imagine what you need and want, and to remember and keep its memory banks to keep reminding you. Now, to be honest, I love artificial intelligence. It reminds me as a gardener when I shop for certain things. It reminds me what to buy, when to buy it, what this shirt I'm wearing, how to buy it on sale. I love it. But then again, there's a limit to artificial intelligence. Bloomberg, the magazine, said that there was one particular instance in the issue talking about future finance, this article who says, who to sue when a robot loses your fortune. This article speaks of a Hong Kong-based tycoon, Lee Kin Kan, who let an automated platform based on a supercomputer called K1 manage part of his fortune. The goal was to boost the funds that he had. Instead, the AI, or the artificial intelligence, regularly lost up to $20 million daily. In other words, AI failed. That's not just true about instances like this. This is true about our own personal lives. We have all kinds of artificial intelligence on our spiritual life, artificial intelligence on our relationships, parenting. We even have artificial intelligence for our health and fitness, and even for our finances. But the truth is, most of these are artificial, and for the most part, don't really transform our spiritual lives, our relationships, our health, or even our finances. The question I want to pose to you today is, how artificial is your intelligence? Now, when you think about intelligence, we know what it means. It's knowing, understanding, imagination, and memory. But what about the word artificial? When you think of the word artificial, one word that comes to mind is the word synthetic. Synthetic simply means a substance made by chemical synthesis, especially to imitate a natural product. One example of that is potato chips. Now, to be clear, not all potato chips are synthetic, but a number of them are. A synthetic potato chips, this mimics the same thing or imitates a natural product, but it's not the same thing. Reminds me of the verse in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, where it says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. This is Jesus speaking, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Man shall not live on just bread, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, the word synthetic, discussed as a substance made by chemical synthesis, has 3 points. By synthesis, to imitate a natural product. I want to break these 3 things down in light of artificial intelligence and God's intelligence. By synthesis, when you get potato chips that's synthetic, it's a mixture of part true and part false. In the same way, when we take God's word partially true and partially false, we get into trouble. When people were asked once what was their most favorite Bible verse, many answered, God helps those who help themselves. Unfortunately, that verse does not belong in the Bible, is not in the Bible, because those are the words of Benjamin Franklin. And sometimes that's what happens to us. We become synthesized with the world's ideas and God's word, and the next thing you know, we're eating synthetic imitation, not the natural thing, which does not help us in our intelligence. Secondly, it's about imitation, something that looks like the real thing and not the real thing. And that's dangerous. The Bible warns us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world. In other words, don't just take something that's an imitation of what is really true and good, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, don't just eat what is synthetic, what is an imitation. Take the natural product. If you're going to eat a potato chip, get the real thing, because there's a difference in the result of your health. And then it says, if you do that, if you refuse to take the synthetic, you will be able to test and approve. You will know, you will understand, you will have to be able to imagine and remember what God's will is. Not just His will, that you'll understand how good, how pleasurable, and how perfect God's will is. This is the power of using the right words or the right truth to meditate on. And finally, the idea of a natural product. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, like newborn babies. In other words, treat your diet spiritually in your mind like a newborn baby that you will not feed with just anything. In fact, it says, like a newborn baby, you must crave and literally seek for or desire not just milk or spiritual milk, but pure spiritual milk. There's a difference between synthetic, imitation, natural products rather than the pure, natural, true Word of God. Because when you do that, you will grow. That's how you grow, when you take the right thing into a full experience of the truth of the salvation we have in God, in Christ. Question, how artificial or synthetic is your intelligence? How often do you combine God's word with the world's ideas? This is artificial intelligence. A second word that we find when we talk about artificial intelligence is the word unnatural. When I think of artificial, synthetic, unnatural things, I can't help but think of artificial plants. That's because I'm a gardener. And when you think of artificial plants, they're unnatural. In other words, they do not exist in nature. In short, they do not grow and they do not mature. When you ever go to a store during the Christmas season and buy a Christmas tree, you're going to find trees that look like the real thing. But those trees, as good as they look, will not grow and will not mature like real trees, for the simple reason they're artificial. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, we're told, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. In other words, this is how you know, when you walk in step with other people, when you walk in fellowship with other people, you begin to know and understand the truth of God's word. When you stand in the way of sinners, from walk you stand, and notice what happens, you begin to learn the ways of other people. It's the same with God. When you walk in step with God, you know His ways. When you walk and stand in the way of God, you learn His ways. And notice how it says that when you walk and stand, you inevitably sit in the company of mockers. You end up becoming part of the tribe. And that's why it's warning us not to go this way. Instead, delight ourselves in the law of the Lord, to desire it. In other words, to want to know it and to want to learn it. Then it tells us how we do that. And who meditates on the word, on his law, day and night. In other words, our minds should be stayed on meditating on the word of God. Truth of the matter is, our life will always encounter problems. And our minds will find things to worry about. Things to be anxious and have anxiety, which leads to stress and trauma and depression. And at some point, even burnout. When we don't meditate on the Word of God, our minds run amok. They run in different directions and causes our minds to become unstable. The goal is, and the key to stopping that, is to pause that mind and meditate on the Word of God. Rather than allowing that mind to go in different directions, unraveling on its own, when we meditate on the Word of God, our minds are stayed and our minds are able to become stable in God. Now notice where it says, meditate on his law, not just meditate on his law, but do it day and night. In other words, whether it's in the morning, lunchtime, evening, it's 24/7. To cause our thoughts to be the thoughts of God, to look for a verse that represents whatever it is that's plaguing us. When I'm unhealthy, I look for a verse on health and I begin to meditate on that word the whole day. When I'm afraid or when I'm losing strength, I meditate on the words of Isaiah that says that I will be like an eagle soaring. When I'm whatever it is I'm facing, whether it's a threat, whether it's finances, whether it's my health, or whether it's my spirituality, I meditate on the Word of God day and night. Because when we do that, we will find ourselves stable. And the promise is in verse 3, that person will be like a real tree, not an artificial tree, but a real tree that is planted by streams of water. The result is, unlike an artificial tree, he will yield fruit in season. His leaves will not wither. And that's what you look like. A tree that's fruitful, a tree that's flourishing, a tree that's thriving, a tree that is multiplying. And the promise is, whatever he does, whatever we do, will prosper. This is the power of meditating on the Word of God. We need to be careful that what we're meditating on is not just artificial intelligence, synthetic, synthesized combinations of truths of the world and the truth of God, imitation ideas of wisdom that seem to be natural or unnatural, which does not exist in nature, does not cause you to grow and mature, and worse, it does not and will not make you prosper. Second question for today, how can we be more conscious of using God's word as the filter by which you see the world? How can you do that? Think about ways by which you can actually pause your mind and be conscious and say, wait, I've got something that I'm worried about today. Let me get my phone and Google a verse that says, how can I stop worry? And begin to meditate on that word day and night. As you do that, you will find that worry fades and drops to the floor and you're able to prosper in your soul. A third word that we can think of when you think of artificial intelligence is the word man-made. When something is artificial, it is synthetic, it is unnatural, and it is man-made. In other words, it does not last. Now, please do not misunderstand me. I like man-made stuff. The shirt I'm wearing right now is made of man-made fibers, and you probably noticed that I'm wearing the same thing. Not the same thing, but I have about more than a dozen of these. But it's made of a certain type of fiber that doesn't cause me to sweat as bad. I appreciate man-made stuff, but the truth of man-made stuff is they do not last because they're man-made. And one number two is not only do they not last, it has its limits. I remember an article that I read just recently from The Economist about the next catastrophe. The article talks about the reality of potential volcanic eruptions of mega proportions, the polar ice caps melting, which causes tremendous flooding and a lot of weather interference. It's talking about a meteor that might strike the Earth or dust particles from the sun and another virus. Or worse, the mother of all catastrophes is a nuclear war. And what I'm interested about this article was it says that AI or artificial intelligence, or for that matter, all the intelligence of the world put together is not able to resolve, predict, or fix the problems that might be forthcoming. Why? Because they're man-made. And when something is man-made, it does not last, it has limits, and most of all, it cannot sustain life. One final illustration to point out this idea of artificial, synthetic, unnatural, or man-made are mannequins. They look like us, they dress like us, they stand like us, but they don't have any intellect, and that's why they're called dummies. People who do not have the intellect that God wants to give them are dummies. Now, the Bible tells us that the Word of God is different. When we meditate on the Word of God, something inside of us changes because the Word of God is not dead, it is living and active. In other words, it changes over time to fix the situations. It addresses the moments of the changes in our seasons. The Word itself does not change, but while the seasons and the issues change, the Bible's Word, God's Word, is alive and active for the moment, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce to the division of the soul and the spirit. This is powerful. When you understand that the Word of God is able to divide the soul and the spirit, what that simply means is this: when you're worried, when you're afraid, when your body, when your thoughts, when your emotions can't handle it, the Bible, the Word of God, is able to draw your spirit and cause it to overcome and overwhelm whatever it is that's plaguing you. This is the power of the living, active Word of God. Even in the physical realm, it supersedes it, because the Bible does say that a man's spirit is more powerful than our physical being. Now, it's able to discern the thoughts, watch that, and the intentions of our hearts as well. Because it's what we meditate on eventually become the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. Let me try and land this message for you. We know what intelligence is, and we know what artificial is. What I want to talk to you about this last few minutes is God's intelligence. First of all, it is not synthetic, it is authentic. When we know and meditate on the Word of God, we will know, have the intelligence to know God better. When we know God better, we will have the intelligence to pray to God better. When we have the intelligence of God, we will not just know how to know God better or to pray to Him better, we will even get to know ourselves better. Because when you read the Bible and you meditate on the Word of God, you realize you're a child of God. You realize that you're a sinner that is hopeless and has no capacity to live life apart from God. And every time you know that, you become more intelligent about the things of God. You learn the need to why I need to pray to God and I need to know God better. Secondly, God's intelligence is not unnatural. It is rather supernatural. Supernatural to the point of living in a natural world. I found myself over the years as a young father, husband, grandfather now, a pastor, that there are so many situations, whether that's spiritual, relational, health and physical, or financial issues that I have to make decisions about. But when I have God's intelligence, I find that I have the supernatural ability to live life in a natural world. The intelligence of God is not just supernatural for living in a natural world, it is supernatural for discerning life. There are many things that you're going to find in life that will require discernment. When you don't have the intelligence of God, you're going to be making decisions not based on intelligent, wise, sound things, because you don't know, you don't understand, you cannot imagine, and you don't have the memory banks filled with God's truth. And finally, God's intelligence is not just authentic, supernatural. It is actually not man-made, but is God-made. It is able to move us from the temporal to the eternal, from the limited to the unlimited, and it's not dead. God-made intelligence is living and active even for the moment that we face today. Final question for you as I close our message here. Are you open to receiving God's eternal word in your life, that you may be able to meditate? Because every time you meditate, you curtail the mind from stressing your body, your soul, your spirit, and the rest of you. Meditating on the Word of God is powerful to teaching you how to pray. As I close this segment, I want to move on to proclaiming the truth about who Jesus is, the living Word. And I want to close with this word of prayer for you, that you will be strengthened as you learn and to know that God is for you and not against you, and that His Word is readily available in supernatural form in a very natural moment in your life here today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we proclaim that You are the Word of God made flesh. In You is our knowledge, our understanding, and the image of the one true God. Thank You that though no one knows the mind of God, in You we have the mind of Christ. As such, our intelligence is not of this world or artificial, but authentic. It is not natural, but supernatural, able to give us discernment and to make us prosper. Thank You that our intelligence is in You. Thus, it shall be with us for all eternity, for all of our life, even as it remains living and active at this time of our lives. In Your name, Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.